listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, debating whether or not it's better to reveal yourself first or have an adventure beforehand. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy, Mike the Ghoul. The existential debate on what came first, the chicken or the egg. Let's just talk about something coming before something, right? Origin. Origins, please.
I was thinking on this because we did Fantastic Four and we did Superman. Yep. Superman felt like I was really thinking about it. I was like, why was this movie, like, because I like the movie. I like what it did. But I also had an issue with the movie. And the more I thought, I was like, we discussed it. It didn't give us the enough focus on the characters that we are supposed to be getting, Lois and Superman, because it's a fucking Superman movie.
Right.
But it's like, it felt the problem was not so much that this movie did anything good or bad. It's just that we needed, even if it wasn't the full thing, we didn't get like the baby sent to Earth and all the recreation of fucking Krypton and all that, because we've seen that enough. I get it. Like, Spider-Man Homecoming didn't give us the full origin story. It trusted that we knew it, but it's still kind of origin, because it showed us the high school, it showed us his relationship with his aunt, it showed him learning the new suit that he got from Tony Stark, which also kind of was a cheat on the origin story, because a lot of that origin story we got in Civil War, which is also kind of what, to the detriment of the movie, Black Panther did. But Superman doesn't have that. Superman doesn't have any of that, and it feels like the Superman movie we got from DC was a middle movie. And it feels like that for Fantastic Four, too. Now, I think Superman gets over that hump in a way that Fantastic Four doesn't, but they're both middle movies lacking, if not an origin story, the first film of their trilogy to get them going.
It's like they pasted it into, like, in Superman, it was what, the first little screen crawl there? It's like, you know, 30 years ago, he's here.
Yeah.
Three years ago, this. 3 minutes ago, that. Like, they kind of catch you all up in that first little jaunt there. Uh-huh. And it was kind of the same thing with Fantastic Four, right? Like,
montage,
it starts out like, like, you know, they've been this way for 2 years. And, you know, you get little snippets of what they looked like before and all that. But it did seem, to your point, like it worked a lot better in Superman, even though there were some flaws in the movie and we discussed it. But Fantastic Four never really recovered from that to me.
No.
As far as the story. And that doesn't mean I hated the movie. I thought the movie was good. But like, you're 100% right in like how two most recent movies both handled these lack of origin stories, and one was successful and one was just kind of meh.
Mostly successful. Like,
mostly. Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
I really still wish we got like 15-minute short they put out ahead of time. Or, like, a couple of comic books to get us or something. Although, I think the short would have been better. Like, do it before something else that people are going to go see from Warner Brothers before you do that. Like, in an ideal situation, it wouldn't have taken them 6 years to write it. And a Superman 15-minute short to introduce you to the character would have come out before, like, the Batman Part 2.
That, you know what, that's a really good point. I was just thinking, like, what would that have worked with? I was like, you know, the Batman, but that was, you know, a couple years ago now, but the Batman too. Yeah, that would have worked. Yeah.
And obviously, scheduling being what it is, they couldn't do that. But had they, and then given us that, because they do theatrical releases before film. Disney has done that all the time. Put a Pixar short before a Pixar movie or something. I don't know if they still do it, because I can't remember.
It's their thing. Their thing. They always do a little short beforehand. Some of them are cuter than the movie. It really depends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was Bex and I went to see Frozen.
Is that the one with Piper, the little guy at the ocean, the little seagull?
I can't remember which one. One of them had Paper Man before it, and Paper Man is such a great short.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, like one of my favorites from them. It was fantastic.
We can do a little Disney short little montage and kind of talk about them. Like, some of those Pixar ones are really cute. My wife loves Piper. That's one of my favorites.
But I think, like, they got so much buzz off of just the teaser trailer that was more or less just mood. Like, Superman crashes into the snow, and then you get hints of what's coming without anything major being revealed. And that did a lot to build buzz. I think that helped to get this movie probably from 400 million where it might have likely been to a 600 million movie, because, you know, superhero movies are kind of struggling until they catch their audience right now. But if you could have had a short 5, 10, 15 minutes just to give us that taste of Clark in the office, Clark with Lois, Clark going off to fight someone, and then tease, oh, and the Hammer of Barovia's coming, then that sets us up in such a way that we're anticipating it. And we feel like we've learned the character some, so that when the real movie comes out, then we're golden.
Yeah, and it would have, like, it was almost like, you know, Superman loses and no one seemed to care.
You know,
I mean, right? Like, they kind of never really went back to, like, oh, he got his ass beat. But, like, I mean, I guess he was in his Fortress of Solitude and all that. And by the time I saw him again, he was healed and he is Superman.
But still, like, I do agree with
you. I could have seen it ending, like you said. Like, it could have ended with him being like, Lois, I'll be back. I got to go take care of something. And then we come in into where the movie starts out when he loses the fight.
Well, there's just, there's an easy situation where Lois interviews Clark as Superman. And she could have asked a question there of, how did it feel to lose a fight for the first time? That's a question that could have brought some emotions up from him and given us more of that dynamic, and actually address one thing that the opening crawl brings up that we don't ever see addressed again.
And it would have been really on point for the interview section too, because, like, you could tell he was getting aggravated, and, like, it would have been good to see, like, a different, like, it was anger almost. It would have been good to see him taking a step back a little bit, like, damn, I did kind of get my ass kicked a little bit, like a little more range of emotion. And again, we're nitpicking here because but it could, you know, after the fact, hindsight's 20/20, but it would have been pretty cool to see a different range of emotion, because he was like zero to like pissed off at her because all she's trying to do is ask questions.
I didn't read it as pissed off. I read it as frustrated.
There you go. That's the better way to put it.
And that, like, he's comfortable revealing more emotion around her than he would other people because they're close.
Good point.
He can be his natural self. So let's do the Quentin Tarantino thing for a second. Is Superman the mask, or is Clark Kent the mask? And Quentin Tarantino is strongly in the belief that Clark is the mask because he's pretending to be a human when he's an alien. Yep. I've never subscribed to that. I think, yes, Bruce Wayne is the mask for Batman, because Batman's his true self. But Clark was raised as a kid, even before, like, depending upon which version of the origin you get, which we don't know for this, he might not have even had powers until he was 3 or 12 or whatever. So he was human up to a point. He thinks of himself as a Kansas farm boy. So he does, Superman is just a mask. Like, he doesn't get to be the true Clark, I think, in either form, except around Lois.
Right. But you got to think the real Superman, right? At the end of that, the whole back and forth between him and Lex. And, like, I came across the little monologue he does there on Instagram yesterday, I think. And, you know, and that made me think about, like, oh, we need to talk about this again. We're bringing it up today with the origin story. Like, he looks at Lex and he's like, and that's what makes me human. He's like, I get scared. I have flaws. They really tried to make him more like a guy than this god that he was propped up to be in the Snyderverse. But,
which, you know, I appreciate. The Superman movie really is an answer to all the Snyder bro points about why their Superman is so good. And I'm not trying to denigrate Man of Steel. I don't think it's a good Superman movie, but it's not a bad superhero movie.
Sure.
It has some flaws, but it's certainly better than Batman v Superman. So, especially in
a lot of things are better than that. And John Williams' score in Man of Steel is very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Man of Steel is fine if you're not looking for a true, like, Superman movie. I honestly, as much as I'm not sure how well he would have handled the material, I think he would have been better off doing a Superman story like Red Sun or something, Zack Snyder, than actually taking on Superman himself. He needs something where the twist on the character is different from just Kansas farm boy.
That's fair. You know, he was propped up, you know, even the whole thing with Ben Affleck's Batman, like, looking at him like, he looked at him like a threat too.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, and
well, it was.
You know, and exactly, he kind of was. And Superman in this new iteration, version 5.0 or whatever it is, there's like been 6 different Supermans at this point.
Was the most
human he felt, you know, and I liked that about it. He right down to sitting in, you know, we've talked about it in our cast about it, when he's sitting down and the action's going on outside the window and he's just like having a moment with Lois. He's like, yeah, they got this. Like, it's just like, it was cool to see a different take on the character like that.
But yeah, no, I think the problem is, for these movies, we don't necessarily need a full origin story. We don't need to go back like Amazing Spider-Man did to Spider-Man, which is retell everything from the spider bite onward. We don't need Superman's spider bite. But we do need a little bit of time with him as a character before he gets thrown into a fight. We need more time with the Fantastic Four before they get so established that they have no character drama anymore.
Yeah, and again, they're just thrust into the middle of the movie, like they've been here as well. And okay, this is cool here too, I guess. I mean, little choppy there, I think.
You can't have the bold drama of Empire Strikes Back without Star Wars, and It feels like both of these are trying to jump into Empire.
You know, you gotta shoot your shot when you take it, I guess. I mean, and if you're trying to emulate a movie, Empire is a good one. It's pretty much one of the consensus best Star Wars. It's a really good Star Wars movie. It's my favorite.
Wasn't the lesson I was going for, but sure, okay. And,
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
All right. This has been Not So Live from Astro G, feeling the burn of Krypton all around us. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna get out of here too and just create his own nuclear sun to power his healing.
Or a nuclear man.
Yes, or a nuclear man to save a child.
We will see you all next time.